one can't help but be positive.
Cam Newton!
The other can't help but be negative.
Bleep you, you bleeping bleepity bleep.
The only thing they seem to agree on is that they can barely agree on anything.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm Andy Hart. I'm not happy about this.
It's sports radio for the passionate fan.
What's up, Nick?
And grumpy dad in all of us.
That is just so stupid.
Fitzy and Hart.
Yes, I've been listening, Andy.
On Boston Sports Original.
I like the way Andy Hart does it.
Might have Nick just take over.
WEEI.
On an absolutely, positively beautiful Father's Day, the kind of weather that you wish you could dial up and order from DoorDash and have delivered each and every day, we welcome you to the Fitzy and Hart program on a happiest of Father's Day 2024, as we broadcast to you from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio here at America's most beloved ballpark, and the grounds are looking absolutely pristine today. A beautiful green. Green being the color du jour here right now in all of Boston sports fandom, as of course your Boston Celtics are up 3-1 in the NBA Finals Championship pursuit of Banner 18. We will check in just a moment with one of our absolute favorites here, John Corrales of the Boston Sports Journal, to catch us up on everything that went down in Game 4 and what we may see coming up in Game 5 here. A little bit of a different start to the show here on the Fitzy and Hart program. You can holler at us anytime. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. Of course, the socials at FitzyGFY, at Jumbo Hart, and at WEEI. And our producer extraordinaire back at our Brighton studios, Nico, has you monitored on the text line at 37937. Nico, do we got my guy Corrales? This is the big man on the horn.
Yep, he's ready to go.
All right, joining us right now on the hotline, of course, from the Boston Sports Journal, one of your favorite beat reporters for the Boston Celtics, the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, and just a tall glass of Greek water himself, the one, the only, John Corrales. What's up, Johnny?
Not much, man. How you doing?
You know what? I'm having a day. I've been up since the crack of dawn. I ran a 6K fun run earlier this morning. I'm doing sports talk from America's most beloved ballpark, and the day is going to end in my feet in the ocean, steak tips and a cold beer, playing with my kids. I couldn't ask for much more.
That's right. That's right. What better Father's Day could you ask for?
I can't imagine much better. With all due deference, I'm not sure exactly how Andy's day is going so far, but with all due deference to the Harbaugh brothers, who has it better than us? Nobody. And, John, it looks like we may be having it better than anyone else again sometime soon, as the interminable, insufferable duck boat drought of over 5 years could be coming to an end very soon. We thought it was going to come to an end Friday night with the proper sweep down in Dallas, which would have led to a parade perhaps on Father's Day or early sometime this week in Boston. But, of course, the duck boats were not fired up. The ignitions were not kicked in because the Celtics had their teeth and their faces kicked in by the Mavericks in a game where they lost by 38 points but wasn't actually even that close. So let's begin here. Is the general mood around the Celtics now like let's just go ahead and forget that? We could have lost by one. We could have lost by 100. It doesn't matter. Or is there any concern right now in the green ranks about what happened Friday?
Well, I mean, when you say like 0 to 100, there's a non-zero level of concern. There has to be some because the Mavericks are still alive, and you know they had that great fourth quarter, and they carried that over into a great game four. But I don't think the concern level is very high. You had a team that's desperate. We saw it in the Stanley Cup Finals. When you get the team that's desperate coming out there and playing hard, and the team that's at, you know, up 3-0, you see it's not going your way. It's kind of hard to muster up a lot of that fight. The other team is fighting for their sports lives, and the team that's up is like, you know what? We got a game at home. We could do this at home. And there's just no extra urgency, no desperation. And it tends to spiral out of control. So I don't think there's a lot of concern. But the Mavs did do some stuff well. They defended well. They threw in a couple of new wrinkles. The Celtics are going to have to figure that out. Al Horford said after game four there that we played three games of not having to make adjustments. Now we have to make one. So, you know, that tells you a little bit about what Dallas did. Now you're coming home, and hopefully you can get the job done here.
Andy?
John,
How much of the, obviously human nature feels like it played a role in this, but do you have any concern that the Dallas Mavericks, quote, figured something out, or they have a little Kevin Millar in them and don't let us win just one? Like, any fear that they found some answers, so to speak?
Look, I don't think that they found a ton of answers. They found some that I think if Boston, like, I look back at that game, I watch it again, and I just see so many opportunities of they could have done certain things there. They could have made different reads. They did some uncharacteristic things in those spots. And so I feel like if there's one thing that comes out of that game four, it's, okay, we've seen now a game and a half of them playing a certain way, Dallas playing a certain way. We didn't attack them the way we should. We should have made quicker decisions. We could have done X, Y, and Z differently, quicker, with more, you know, discipline. I think it was an undisciplined game four. And so I feel like they're going to give Dallas all the credit. I'm going to give Boston a bunch of the blame. And I think because Boston could have done a bunch of stuff better, there's a real good chance that they fix that in game five. So it's not like when I rewatch things, I go, oh no, they did this and there's no answer for that. No, there's none of that going on.
John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal joins the Fitzy and Hart program to kick off our Father's Day Spectacular from 1 to 4 p.m. as we broadcast to you from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. John, I'm just going to say, I'll just say straight up, like, the Celtics, you can tell right from Jump Street, you mentioned it earlier, no urgency whatsoever. And then when they couldn't get anything to fall, Tatum couldn't get early layups, they were laying brick after brick after brick, couldn't hit the side of a barn with a baseball, couldn't hit the ocean from a rowboat with a basketball. You just kind of knew it wasn't your night. But I did see something that was a little strange. It was almost like I had never sort of seen it before. Luka looked like he was playing defense. They couldn't get around him. He wasn't the sieve. He wasn't the turnstile. He wasn't the same lack of defensive player that Brian Windhorst excoriated on SportsCenter just a few days prior. Where did that come from? Had you seen that before? And do you believe he's capable of sustaining that much defense, considering how much energy that takes against a high energy team like the Celtics, when his focal point and priority should be offense?
Yeah, I mean, I have seen some of that before. It's been kind of jarring as to how bad he's been. But I also think that when you're not making shots and the other team can get out and run and they make shots, they come back and set their defense, you come up and you've got to take a second to set your offense, that allows for Luka to kind of stay in front a little bit. And what they're doing behind Luka is they're kind of like – playing a half zone, half man, where their big Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively are kind of in the paint a little bit more. So part of it is, yeah, Luka is staying in front a little bit better, but also the Celtics see past Luka and they see the back lines. There's help there. And so they're more willing to try and pull that away versus where in the first few games, they would put their heads down and continue to try to turn the corner. So it looks like Luka's defense looks a lot better, partly because he's putting more effort there, and partly because the Celtics, when they are at that point where they can be like, okay, I'm dipping my shoulder, I'm going to give one extra push because I know if I do this, I'm going to get around them. Now they see a big there, and they kind of pull it back out. So there's a couple of things at play there. But I think the Celtics' answer is defending and getting out into transition so Dallas can't set their defense. And then when they're in transition and you got a little bit of a head of steam, all of a sudden Luka's going to look like a turnstile again.
John, I'm going to just presume they take care of business on Monday night because, you know, I'm an optimistic guy. I'm a green teamer. I'm all those things. So
the most positive man in all of Boston sports. He tells no lies, John.
To be fair, I wear a Jaylen Brown jersey to watch every game, and it worked for three of them. And
that's so you can show off your awakened 180 body, bro.
I look jacked in it. That jersey, I look jacked. Anyway, speaking of Jaylen Brown.
Do you do like 10 push-ups before you take a selfie?
Oh, absolutely. Like in high school, before you go to a party, you do a couple curls, you do a couple push-ups before you get a little pump going. Absolutely.
Suck in the gut before you go in the pool.
Absolutely.
That's right.
But, you know, it seems like there's going to be probably an interesting race or debate for MVP, depending on how Monday plays out. How are you handicapping it? And does it matter when we start to get into the great debate of Jason Tatum and who's driving the bus and Jaylen Brown? Sort of, how do you handicap the MVP race and the narrative that will come from it?
I mean, you can't stop the narratives. People are going to say what they're going to say. I think Jaylen is in the lead. Both guys got demerits for their game fours. Yeah. I think Jaylen is in the lead because of the two-way play. It might depend on game five. Like, if Tatum comes out and drops a triple-double, he'll get it. Mm-hmm. But if it's kind of even, it might be, I think Jaylen should get it. But in the end, it doesn't matter because you're champs. And, like, the finals MVP is a snapshot of a series. And ultimately, you're just going to remember the winners, right? You're going to see the ring on the finger, and that's the most important part. So, and I feel like, you know, this should be closed out in five. They're bringing the whole team back for at least next year, maybe the year after. There's a chance to get another one somewhere along the way. So I think there's a chance to kind of continue to build these legacies. So if people want to say it's Jaylen's team, I don't think these guys care at all, one bit.
Yeah, that was the operative from Jason Kidd earlier in the series when it seemed like he thought the series could be slipping away quickly, that he tried to crawl in the heads of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, right, and the Celtics, disrupting them with his little, shall you say, mental karate and saying, oh, you know, their best player is Jaylen Brown. He's the best player in the team. I don't think that worked, and they all acknowledge that that was a blatant effort to try and emotionally divide and conquer for them. The play on the floor will speak ultimately for the Celtics. But I'll ask you this last one, John, because I know you have to go to media break, and we got to pay the bills and catch up on sports news in a second. But given the fact that the best fight in the Garden all week long was amongst a bunch of fans and freaking game four at the watch party. Yeah, this is why we can't have nice things, Boston. Uncle Wick is probably not going to have any more watch parties. So behave yourselves tomorrow night, especially if things go the right way. But how do you see tomorrow playing out? And do you think there's any chance anyone but Tatum or Brown could, like a holiday, if you will, if he balls out like he did earlier in the series, could steal MVP tomorrow?
It's possible. It's certainly possible. If Holiday comes out and hits like a bunch of threes and is the difference in this game, then he could sneak in. And it's going to be one of those weird games probably where I do think there's going to be a sense of desperation on the Celtics side. They don't want to go back to Dallas. They don't want to have to do that. And so they're going to come out and they're going to play hard. And, you know, maybe Jason is passing the ball a lot. Maybe Jaylen is a little bit off, but I think Holiday would be the other candidate for MVP, kind of like a not distant third, but kind of in that mix, but definitely third. So, but I expect these guys to come out and play hard, and I expect shots to fall for the first time, like in earnest this series. And I think that'll be the difference. Dallas will play great, I'm sure, but then I can see some shots starting to fall and Celtics pull away a little bit later on.
Only once has a 3-0 championship series comeback been efforted, and of course that was the Red Sox over the Yankees in 2004. It's happened 3 times in the NHL, 0 times in the NBA. Let us hope that the history the Celtics are making is banner 18 and not being the first team to ever blow a 3-0 finals lead. John, thank you as always for joining us, my man. I know you got to get to media day. Have a great rest of the day. Enjoy the weather. Let's go Celtics, and we hope to be reading some of your coverage following the Celtics hanging banner 18 tomorrow night.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. And happy Father's Day to you and to everybody.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it. John Corrales right there. Join us on the hotline from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. He, of course, of the Boston Sports Journal. All right, Andy. We didn't even have a chance to properly greet, catch up. Happy Father's Day to you. And, of course, happy Father's Day to all of our listeners and everyone in Boston, Boston Sports, New England, within the sounds of our voices here on WEEI. We had John available early, so we wanted to jump right in and talk some Celtics with one of the best voices in town. We will reset the program and get things rolling on the other side momentarily. And of course, you are welcome to talk Celtics, to talk Sox, to talk Patriots, Tom Brady Day, Father's Day reminiscing, share some stories. It's a beautiful day to talk sports. It's a beautiful day outside. 617-779-7937. There's your number. And here's your trending sports news update with Nico.
Now we're right back to it. Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Jared Wasey, Athletic. You guys have had so many different metaphors for understanding that when you're on top is when you're also most vulnerable to fall. So being in this situation for the first time of on the verge of clinching championship, how'd you feel like all of those lessons you've learned kind of felt in that moment?
It's a great opportunity to respond. Give credit to Dallas. They came out and they play with force and they play great. So we regroup. We keep our same mentality and we come out and get ready to fight in another battle on our home floor.
Like we're back in a bar in the late 90s in Boston. A little Chumbawamba for your Father's Day right there. That was Jaylen Brown speaking to Jared Weiss of The Athletic. Following the Celtics, shall we say, lackluster performance in Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Celtics still up 3-1. Tomorrow night, Game 5 at the TD Garden, 8:30 tip-off. Will the Celtics be able to do what previous iterations of the Celtics have done in their pursuit of a championship? Drop a game on the road by a whole lot of points, then come back and deliver a title for the Garden faithful. We shall soon see, and there's plenty to discuss and debate along the way. This is the Fitzy and Hart program coming at you on 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, and all across the WEEI network and our fabulous affiliates on Father's Day. Of course, if you can't listen on the radio live, you could always stream us with the Odyssey app, AudacY. Andy, how is the Father's Day going thus far?
Not great. Not great. Okay. I'm a little technologically naked these days. Had to do
what'd
the...
What'd you do?
I hate change in general. All aspects of my life.
Yep.
Creature of habit. I like...
Very, that's quintessentially Massholian of you. Yes. You don't like change.
I went to a barbecue yesterday, graduation party, and I wore my structure khaki shorts from the 90s. I don't change, ever. So, had some issues with...
Wow.
What?
Amazing. I said, that's amazing. You still have those. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're in good shape, too, because I got a little big for them at one point, and now I've dropped a few LBs, as you mentioned, thanks to my friends at Awaken 180. Now they fit perfectly again. So,
Nico, we got that plug in at 124. Yep. Just making
keep
sure.
Keep the sponsors happy. But no, so both of my kids have had some issues. So my son went to the Garden party the other night, and while
started
heading in...
Started a massive brawl.
No, I asked him. He didn't even see it. I was like, thank God you weren't involved in that. If I ever saw you on the internet or in Twitter, I'd kill you. You'd be getting that kind of pounding when you got in the door. Anyway, no. But when he ran across the street to get to the Garden, his phone fell out of his pocket and was immediately run over by a car doing about 45 miles an hour. So he needed a new phone. Mm-hmm. So long story short, we're on family plans, and it was just easier to switch carriers, all get new phones, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's taking place this morning, but took longer than expected, so I don't have a cell phone or text or anything right now, and I'm feeling a little naked. It's weird when I don't have a phone.
Dude, celebrate. I just listened to, and it's, you know, actually it's germane to the idea that this is Father's Day. I listened to an incredible podcast on my drive up to the Boston area yesterday with the author Jonathan Haidt, who wrote the book The Anxious Generation about how terrible cell phones are for kids as they're developing, and everything from social media and not getting outside and playing and not having risk reward in your life, but instant gratification, all this stuff. I would think that at this point now, long story short, great story, Fitzy. It's an incredible book and an incredible podcast. But I would say you should almost feel liberated today. Like, you know what? A bunch of people probably texted you and said, Happy Father's Day, or, you know, texted you to let you know, USOB, you've never made those alimony payments. How could you? All these children all over the South Coast. Actually, I was in your area last night, too. I'll get to that a little bit later. You're free.
What are you, Steve Buckley? A lot of stories coming here.
Hey, it's, you know what? We've got
time,
guys.
Love you, Buck.
Guys.
Mean it.
We've got time. Hello, ladies. How are you? Yes, we're doing a live radio show here.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Yes, we're in this beautiful fishbowl. Like, I'm staring out on a gorgeous day. You know, I got handsome Tom. Handsome Tom, the intern behind me, who's in the box. I can't hear what he's saying. He's freaking out because these lovely ladies were just waving into the studio. And he's like, come on, Fitzy, hook a guy up in here. Come on. He's young and single. We're old and married.
True.
Yeah, I would think you'd feel free, liberated. People will get to you eventually, and you can return all those messages. Just enjoy it today. Spend quality time as a dad with your kids. They're probably not home right now, you know, on the radio, talking to a guy 63 miles away.
Yeah, no, it's a little, you're so used to it. It's always in your hand. Yeah. You get out your car, you pick it up and bring it with you. You sit down, you chat, you know, if somebody needs to get me, they'll text me, that kind of thing. And now it's like, well, I'm kind of just flying without a net here. But, yo, well, I'm ready to have some fun sports talk radio. And, you know, I've been rolling along here with Jaylen Brown. I had more fun than I would have expected at Tom Brady night. I've kind of been rolling with the June punches here and enjoying it.
Yeah, leading up until Friday night, I would say it was a sterling, if not almost perfect, perfect June in the Boston sports world. The Red Sox are somehow miraculously keeping their head above water. They can't beat a team with a losing record for love, sex, or money. But, of course, when it comes to playing the Yankees or the Phillies, they always seem to put their best foot forward, depending on whose foot that is, because I can't recognize half the people in the lineup most of the days. You got the Celtics.
Down, Rex Ryan.
You got the people in the green and the white in pursuit of a championship, possible duck boat firing up later on this week. Tom Brady night with all the nostalgic feels, the touchdown tingles, the emotional closure of Wednesday night. I know we'll probably spend far too long discussing that later, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, A, it's Tom Brady. It's never enough coverage. And B, when it comes to hit Belichick's speech and especially Brady's, they need to be broken down and shared time and again. And considering how important fatherhood is to Tom Brady and in the Brady family, he's an especially important figure to discuss today. Oh, you know, I mean, things have been great. And then Friday night happened. And then I still can't figure out, and I know we got some time to break that down, if that was like, oh boy, you know, Dallas has kept it close or showed up in portions of all of the games. You know, it's not like the Celtics waxed them in either game one or two. They did have a big lead in game three. That we thought was going to be the surprise road whooping turned into a much closer game in the end. And then, holy smokes, they just had nothing to offer when it came to game four Friday night. I like many, checked out by early in the third quarter. But I do want to ask you, since this is something we do at the start of all of our programs, but we were momentarily sidetracked by some technological issues, as well as having our pal John Corrales on for a Celtics update before the Celtics media avail. Andy, usually we start our program with a fun little segment called Who Won the Week? Who do we think had the best week in Boston sports? There are a lot, honestly, right now, of options available to us. I'll be very curious to see which way you go with this one. So considering that we have banners in pursuit, we got a mini camp going that took place down in Foxborough, Brady Knight and more, Andy Hart, who won the week in the wide world of Boston sports?
You're right. There are a lot of candidates. I think Jaylen Brown is in the conversation because I think the narrative of who he is, and what he means to the Celtics and the city of Boston is sort of a work in progress. We'll see where it goes Monday night. You know, I think the Drake May to Jalen Polk final play of minicamp was a really nice way for your future and maybe current franchise quarterback to bridge the gap between minicamp and what will be training camp in a month and all that. But I'm going to go to a more accomplished man, a more aged man. He was at Gillette Stadium on Wednesday night, but he was not named Tom Brady. He did not take part in the red carpet. He snuck onto the stage late and then exited stage left when he was done. I thought it was Bill Belichick's night. I thought it was Bill Belichick's week. The ovation he got from you people, you Foxborough faithful, 60,000 of yous that went for multiple minutes and probably could still be going if Belichick had allowed it. That ovation, that moment coming on the heels of everything that's happened over the last 6 months, the amicable parting of the ways with Robert Kraft's Patriots, the not getting the Falcons job, the dynasty documentary that turned into a hatchet job on Bill Belichick, everything that's gone on, that moment was so special. That did you see that Bill Belichick actually went on social media to thank Patriot Nation for what that meant to him? We'll never understand how much he appreciated that. So that was one of the more unique non-game sports moments I think you'll ever see and that I'll ever remember.
Now, did Bill Belichick go through his daughter Amanda or the Patriots or
nope, he went
Jenny
through the
Belichick
Foundation account.
Oh, wow.
And then he signed it BB. he put a note. I forget the exact wording, but it was basically, you'll never know how much that meant to me and how much I appreciate that, and then signed it BB. This is Mr., you know, snap face and Insta this and mock every social media post-coaching career, or, you know, in a little lull here in his coaching career. He's actually on social media addressing you people, you fans, and that tells you how big a moment that really was.
Yeah, I got to tell you, honestly, you know, they talk about in arenas, sports stadiums, coliseums, wherever, when like there's a big moment, that pop, if you will, when a player runs out of the tunnel, when a player comes up from out of nowhere, when somebody hits a game-winning shot, home run, etc. Well, yeah, just, I mean, the most recent one I can think of was at the most recent WrestleMania when The Undertaker, when it went dark and The Undertaker's music played, or The Undertaker sound played, and then the lights came up and he was in the middle of the ring. Holy, I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about that right now. That was insane. Well, there were a lot of ovations, some that even brought people to tears spontaneously Wednesday night. And I'm not just talking about Pats fans who couldn't get over how what a momentous night it was. You know, the Edelman got moved to tears, then held it back. But Randy Moss, you know, openly wept as he was the recipient of a spontaneous 2-minute ovation from the fans. Yep. Because just like Bill Belichick, Andy, they were never there for, there was no, you know, Randy Moss night. There hasn't been a Bill Belichick night to date. And Belichick's last time as head coach of HC of the NEP was in January with that diagonal snowstorm, that awful game against the Jets in front of 35,000 people, tops. So he never got the thank you, coach, he so richly deserved and warranted. Now, the man has been having a phenomenal year. Manning cast, draft coverage, working on the McAfee show, authoring a book, has a new love in his life, all these things. Good for Bill, and then some. But the ovation he got Wednesday night was nothing short of spectacular. And had he not done the same awkward movement with his arms that he did when Ty Law tried to force him to dance at the Super Bowl 36 rally at Government Center, it may still be going on, damn it. That was that was surreal. It was spectacular. It really, really, really was. I'm actually going to give, this is crazy, but at the same time, it probably isn't, considering that we are the Six Rings guys. And if you don't already subscribe, Six Rings and Football Things, the best Patriots podcast, as said by at least several people, currently right now available wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Pods, Podbean, the Odyssey app, and beyond. Please subscribe today and share it with your friends, our fast-growing Foxborough Football Talk community. As much as people would probably think, oh, this is an easy one, you know, the Celtics or Celtics fans won the week, that was going to be the case easily, and we both probably would have walked lockstep into who won the week, the Celtics, had Friday night not happened. Correct. Now the Celtics need to get out there and take care of business on the Garden floor tomorrow night, and we both believe they will, though I still have a feeling it's not going to be some sort of 30-point win for the Celtics or a crowning achievement type of game. Doesn't matter how many you win by, as long as you win. I'm actually going to give the week to Pats fans. You gave it to Belichick, and Jaylen Brown took the runner-up, the consolation prize. I'm going to give the week to Pats fans because Patriots fans got, in addition to some sterling coverage from yourself at Patriots minicamp this week, some glimpses of hope, the future, the wide receivers look good, Baker, especially Jalen Polk, like you said, Drake May, inching closer by the practice to possibly challenging for the starting job over Jacoby Brissett. There are some glimpses of hope for the future. Obviously, nothing is written in stone, nothing is set yet, and they have a lot of work to do. But you add that little bit, that little topping to the decadent, rich, and luscious Sunday that was Wednesday night's affair, getting a chance to see Tom Brady in his full glory, hearing Tom Brady's presidential-like, inspirational, momentous, presidential, unbelievable, leadership-oriented speech, Bill Belichick's appearance, the ovations, the highlights. This was the closure to the double dynastic run. Like you mentioned earlier, Pats fans never got. They never had a chance to say goodbye to Brady, really, in proper fashion, aside from the time he came back with Tampa, as well as when he came out last fall in a jersey that was far too short and tight for him. Looked like his daughter's jersey. Found out, by the way, you know what that was? That was a jersey of his that he used to wear that was actually in the Hall of Fame. He insisted on wearing, our old pal Brian Morey told me that he went and got like a jersey from the Patriots Hall of Fame to wear. He thought it would be fun. Then, of course, he ran down the sideline and it almost rolled off him because it was so small. But the Brady speech, the Belichick speech, you know, getting a chance to see Moss and all these guys, the applause, and then the reciprocal love back from Brady and Belichick and ownership. This was, you know, the closing of the leather-bound book. Then there's that nice little string that tied the whole thing together, and then someone put a big wax stamp right on top of it that had the Patriots logo. That's it. We've been there. It was yours. This was Tom Brady night. Every day was Tom Brady day for 20 years in Patriots Nation, and now we're all comfortable. It'll never be like that again, and that's okay, because look what we had. Look how good we had it. And maybe one day soon, it'll be great again. It'll never be as great as it was. It may be its own version of great. We'll see. But now you've got the comfort knowing how much that meant to them. With all of them saying there's no place they would have rather played. There's no greater fan base in the world than Pats fans. Everybody is now on level emotional playing ground. And it's a great freaking place to be. So congratulations, Pats fans. Biggest win since Tom Brady used to be under center for your team.
Yeah, I thought it was something obviously both sides earned to some degree and needed. The closure, as you said, sort of the old wax or tie-up and bowed on the gift box. Like, this kind of pulled everything together. And it felt like now, whatever happens, you know, Brady can go do his Fox broadcasting, can go buy into the Raiders, and, you know, Patriot fans can now move on from him and fully embrace and love and support Drake May and put on those number 10 jerseys, even though they still have the 12s. And it's just, it felt clean and it felt good. And I do think some of it in all directions was reactionary to the roast. Remember, this is a toast, not a roast. That's how it was declared. And to the dynasty. Those two made for streaming service events that were so watched and then analyzed and broken down and reacted to made this night, 6-12-24, necessary and made it work. I know there was some concern that the roast had actually undercut this event. No. I actually think that made this night more important, a reaction to the roast and the dynasty, and gave it a platform for a positive, emotional, proper ending to sort of everything that's gone on for 2+ decades.
Exactly. I love the fact that in complement, the yin and the yang, if you will, like it was a two-part series, two very different halves, if you will. The roast was outrageous, expletive-laden, gross, filthy, just bodacious, raunchy, and awesome. And it was great for everyone to get a chance to, quote, as they say, you know, take the piss out of Brady, to just, you know, use colorful metaphors, four-letter words, expletives, things I didn't even think you were allowed to say anymore in private, let alone in public or in front of what ultimately became a massive global audience. I can confirm with certainty that this is now one of the biggest things that has ever run on Netflix, which is, of course, a global property. This is one of their most successful, if not their most successful, live endeavor to date as well. It was a smash. Now, this needed to operate in complement and be very quite the opposite, like you said. And it was. It was elegant. It was very patriotic. It was. It really wasn't for NFL fans. Fans of the other 31 teams weren't going to watch this in reverence, nor were they probably even going to shame watch it. I think a much larger audience of diverse NFL fans watched the roast, but I think this was for Patriots fans. This was a Pats fans, or as we like to call it, this was a Pats porn special. You could have run it on onlypatsfans.com, for goodness sakes. It was really, really, really tasteful. It looked great. You also had a couple of musical numbers from acts and artists that people had been speculating about for quite some time. I also think what was really nice to see, having gone to the rehearsal on Tuesday and then having a chance to mingle and waltz about the section with all the players on Wednesday night, it's just so great to see how well all the players get along still. Like, it's not just, if you were part of the first half of the double dynastic run, you are friends with people that won championships from 2001 to 2005. Or if you were part of the second half, then your friends are the Edelmans and the Whites and the Gronks of the world. No, the Joe Andrewsies and the Sebastian Vollmers, the Matt Lights and the Wes Welkers and the Julian Edelmans and the Dion Branches and the Dan Copens and everyone and those that fell in between, like, you know, Russ Hochstein's a champion. He was there. Obviously, Logan Mankins, someone who richly deserved a ring and is sadly one of the only Club Marino members on the New England Patriots that was there celebrating Wednesday. They all get along so well because the common bond is the fraternity of having played for the greatest head coach and the greatest quarterback of all time. And it's just great to see so many of them in such good health, doing so well, but they get along and they just, like, the high that they're all on for having been part of that, you know, they had just as much of a night as we did, and it's just a beautiful thing to see.
And I think that's the important part, the high. They knew at some point they were around greatness. Even the early ones at some point realized, hey, this Brady guy, I know he was a backup, but he's pretty special. We're going to ride this train. And then, obviously, once he was established, multi-time champion, and basically by 04, he was, you know, Joe Montana, they knew, like, oh, we're in the midst of greatness. We're doing something special with him. We're going to play our little role, whatever it may be, whether you're a special teamer or you're Gronk or you're Moss. Like, you know that something special is going on. And I think they truly, genuinely, in the world of pampered athletes, where they all at various points get caught up in themselves, their egos, their contracts, their status, once you step back, you're like, that was pretty freaking cool. Just like all of us to some degree. You and I in our media careers or fans are just like, that's pretty freaking cool. That's how I would describe all this. Pretty freaking cool. And the players knew it. Belichick knew it. Everybody knew it. And I think it was good to see that because we forget about that. You know, the divorce, and you mentioned Brady in a Bucks uniform and all of that. All of that was gone on Wednesday night. I don't think there was a single person there that was thinking about the divorce. Or, you know, it wasn't you, it wasn't me, it was us, that quote. Like, I don't think people were really debating that. It was just, these are our guys, this was our time, and that was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it was all unified except for a couple of the bozos that decided to wear Tom Brady Buccaneers jerseys to the stadium. I wouldn't have allowed him in, personally.
You know, we talked about that on the podcast, and mm-hmm. you were, like, pondering it. Mm-hmm. I went there, I was there all day because I was there for mini camp. Then I went up to Patriot Place for lunch, and, like, one of the first Brady's I saw was the split Brady jersey. The one,
not a Franken Brady. Get out of here.
And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? That's the first one I see. And then I saw shortly thereafter a Bucks jersey. And I was like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Also some, I hadn't seen this before. Have you seen that really bad Brady shirt that's just all his various faces all over?
I saw a couple of those too, yeah.
Oh my God, that's bad.
Oh, it's hideous.
That's one bad shirt.
Worst photo collage from the 80s turned into a laser screen printed yep. t-shirt that awful. Sells for $45 ever.
And I saw multiples. I was like, oh, one off. And then I saw another. I'm like, multiple people bought that? They saw that on online or Instagram and said, that's a good idea. I'm going to order one of the. There really is a sucker born every moment, but whatever. Sure they're supporting is. Their guy.
Whatever. And it's, you know, to each his own. You want to have white wine with your steak dinner or, you know, red with your fish. That's fine as well. Yep. I'll say, we'll talk a little bit more about Brady Knight and the previous state of the Patriots and what's to come as well in Foxborough a little bit later in the program. But, you know, the announcement 12 is retired, and then the fact that there's going to be a 12-foot bronze statue of Brady in the plaza outside of the stadium.
Ooh, that's tall.
That's, you know, like, that's big. That now, I'd always joked, that's a big Twinkie, Andy. Yeah. I'd always joked that, you know, they should build a statue the size of Christ the Redeemer outside of Gillette of Tom Brady just because of how important he was to the team, to the town, to the region, to the NFL, to all of us, to everyone. They should have given him a blank check for years because he literally made the team and the region and Boston and New England and all of us billions of dollars. Not millions, billions of dollars were generated by Tom Brady during those 20 years. But a 12-foot bronze statue, that is significant. That is something you do of like a conquering hero or a warrior of old. Like that's something you go out of your way to visit. Like, no, there's no just like statue that you look at eye height. It's not a plaque. It's not a mural. It is a 12-foot, and you know, it's probably going to be him all fired up, pumping his fist or something. That's going to be emotional when that is revealed. And that also helps the Patriots stretch out all the Brady nostalgia for as long as possible. All right. We got to pay some bills. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, we'll get to some of your calls. We'll also get back into the Celtics. Is there a shred of doubt? Is there a tiny little bit of concern in your bleeding green heart right now that the Celtics may have stumbled across something unfortunate Friday night? Is that an anomalous loss? Could it be a sign of things to come? or do they just want to try to win it back home? And if they did want to just try to come back and win it at home because they didn't have it Friday night, is that a risky proposition? We'll debate it with you when we come back here on Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
WEEI. We are right back to Fitzy and Hart.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Jared Weiss, The Athletic. You guys have talked in so many different metaphors about how hard it is to finish something off this year. You get to the first clinching game for a title of your career. How big of a challenge was it, and how hard was it to try to problem solve in real time and go through all those different things?
Yeah, I mean, give them credit. They played well tonight, and we didn't. We had the right mindset and the right intentions, right? We wanted to come out and play super well and win. But it just didn't go that way tonight. But, you know, we're fortunate we get another opportunity on Monday.
Where is the moment we need it the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost.
A very mellow and measured Jason Tatum Friday night following the Celtics defeat. I don't know if defeat is even... would you call that an ass-whooping, Andy?
Curb job? Isn't that one of them?
Curb stomp.
Curb stomp.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
What's a curb? Yeah.
That's a pig. Not enough lipstick or perfume in this world.
No, not enough. Not enough at all. I mean, the Celtics have a chance, you know, to amend whatever wrongs carried with them or could have traveled back from Dallas after Friday night. Come out. Don't let Dallas get off to a hot start. Play your brand of basketball. Actually make baskets as well. Control the excitement, control the emotion, control the momentum, and they'll be able to validate their insane season. Now they have all but three losses, only one series thus far did they go undefeated in, that of course being the four-game sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Indiana Pacers. But I got to tell you, a record of 16-3 would be pretty impressive, and I think at this point now they wouldn't care, couldn't give a flying flip as to who gets MVP. You just want that championship to validate everything about the Brown and Tatum experience now. Jason Tatum, 7 years in the league. Jaylen Brown, 8, 5 Eastern Conference Finals, 1, now 2 NBA Finals appearances. No ring, no new banner, no championship, no parade, no duck boats to date. But it's close. I just can't imagine that they're going to blow this game and go back to Dallas for what would be an absolute gut wrench. Watch, you know what? They'll lose tomorrow night. And then they'll go back to Dallas and everyone will think, uh-oh, it's going to be South Mouth Puckering City. Here we go. Now we're all going to be nervous all week long. They're going to do this. And then, of course, watch, they'll go win on the road and not give their fans a chance to respond the way they'd like to. More on this in a second, Andy, but let's clean up some of the calls first. We got some people that want to talk Brady Knight and more on the line at 617-779-7937. Ken is up in Maine. How are you, Ken?
Hey, Hart, Fitzy, how you guys doing?
How are you today, sir? Are you a dad, Ken?
I am. I was about ready to say to you all, happy Father's Day, and hope you're enjoying your day. And
right back at you.
Same right back to you, sir. It's my favorite day of the year, my absolute favorite day of the year by far.
Well, hopefully it's a well-deserved, restful, and fun day at the same time for you guys. I just wanted to call in about the Tom Brady ceremony. I know there's been a lot of talk. I'm sure really why the announcement for the statue was during the ceremony. But I'm assuming maybe they're trying to get the PR out about whatever the next thing may be. But I was kind of taking it as a great idea to think of what the statue could be. And I know you brought up earlier about kind of having his fist in the air and stuff like that. I actually have a great idea. Hopefully maybe one of you can pass on to Robert Kraft about taking the Tom Brady needs a high five PSA video that was going around for years and creating a statue with his hand up so it's more interactive so he can eternally get high fives from fans for eternity. Kind of make it in more of an interactive statue. It would be a little hard being 12 feet tall. You might need to have a ramp or whatever. But
I was going to say,
especially for me,
is it going to be a lat? I mean, I'm going to have to give Andy 10 fingers and try and like do more squats to get him up there.
Yeah, well, you know, it have to be definitely have to be thought about. Or you know, there's a guy that watches it, you know, 24/7, like kind of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier or whatever. And, you know, there's somebody always there putting somebody on a lift to, you know, do the high five for a photo opportunity. But anyways, I just thought, you know, that'd be a, you know, a little bit thinking outside of the box of an idea for a statue. A little bit more fun than, you know, just the statue of, you know, maybe just the hand in the air or whatever. But the other reason I wanted to call is I really feel this week with the ceremony, it kind of brought out the importance of someone like Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, who's willing to kind of take one for the team when it comes to their contracts. You know, you're hearing about the Trevor Lawrence contract that he just signed for $55 million a year. I don't know how Jacksonville thinks they're going to be anywhere near able to compete with something like that, with a quarterback that hasn't shown anything near what Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or, I mean, even Joe Burrow making it to the Super Bowl once. You know, I'm not sure why teams are doing that, you know, the talks with Dak Prescott right now as well with the Cowboys. When are teams going to figure out that there needs to be a line in the sand with the market being at the quarterbacks that actually are winning the championships? And, I feel like Tom Brady, just kind of reflection of what was going on, was, you know, definitely, you know, the poster child of what needs to happen to create a dynasty. And sometimes that means, you know, spreading the money out in your pocket maybe a few years longer.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ken. Thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your Father's Day as well. As far as the statue goes, I'm pretty sure it's going to be something along the lines of Tom Brady fired up, Tom Brady stepping back to pass, Tom Brady pumping his fist, et cetera, et cetera. An interactive exhibit outside of Gillette where you can give Tom Brady a high five, you know, or something where you can, like, take a photo with him or something like that and get goated, if you will. I know the Patriots had a little thing that they weren't able to get to in the pre-show because there were just so many moving parts and so many red carpet interviews and more. Was they had this cool AI thing where you could take a you could submit a photo of yourself via this app, or you could, like, take the photo, scan a QR code, send it to the Patriots, and then they would turn you either into Pat the Patriot, or they would turn you into, like, you'd get goated, if you will. So you can look forward to the Patriots doing more of those things in game, on the scoreboard, on the Ultron, as I like to call it, the Ultra Jumbotron, and probably out in the plaza itself. And as far as Ken's grander point about Tom Brady always taking less money and, you know, doing what he thought was in the best, literally what was in the best interest of the football team, which was leaving them money to go find other players and build a solid roster of 53 as opposed to a top-heavy, star-laden roster. That's another one of those things, Andy, when we say, like, there's never going to be another player like Tom Brady. There won't be. I mean, Jared Goff, what did he just get, $170 million guaranteed? You got Trevor Lawrence getting five for 275, which is an absolute bananas figure. And it's in Florida, too. Do you have any idea how far $275 million goes in a tax-free state and an area like Jacksonville? Holy smokes. Crazy money going around with all these players. Justin Jefferson, $35 million a year to be a receiver. Granted, he's the best in the NFL, so by market rate, it's deserved. But yeah, you're never going to see someone say, no, I'm fine. Granted, it helped that at the time he was married to the world's most well-compensated power walker and swimsuit model. But you're never going to see somebody like, no, no, it's okay. I'll pass on earning this extra $200 million so we have a better opportunity to compete for Super Bowls. Never.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm interested to see how things continue to play out with Patrick Mahomes, because on an annual value, he is outside the top eight or whatever it is.
I don't even know if he's top 10. That's a good point, actually. Wasn't it like a 12-year, $420 million deal?
Yeah. He went the long term. It approached $500 million, and everybody's like, wow. But, you know, the average annual value has blown by him since then. And I know they've said, they've made comments, their GM, like, oh, we're going to take care of Patrick. And maybe they will. But, yeah, all these other guys, none of them have won titles. You know, Joe Burrow's been there. Lamar's a couple-time MVP. All these guys that are in that $50-plus million a year range, none of them have been able to win Super Bowls. It'll be interesting to see who breaks through. And I don't fault the player. I'll never fault players. If you ask for it and they give it, okay. It's business, and the cap is exploding, and the revenues are exploding. Like, oh, yeah, we'll play on Wednesday a couple games. Netflix, how many billion? You know, it just, the money is flowing, so it should flow to players. But the competitive balance, how you fill out a team,
there's a lot of, I don't know, decisions to be made there from both sides, teams and players. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the coming years as the cap continues to blow up. All I'll say is this. I hope we're having this conversation in regards to one Drake May in 3 years, 3.5 years from now. I hope we're debating how much to hand him, because that means you have a franchise quarterback.
That would be truly one of my absolute favorite first world football problems to have once again. How much is it going to cost for Drake May? And will Drake May allow the Patriots to take a little bit of a Newtown discount so as to be able to sign some of the other players that were drafted at the same time that we hope the Patriots are able to develop and then will blossom and turn into stars alongside him? That would be, honestly, Andy, that right there, that would be the football dream. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number as we come to you today from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. And, of course, we have a read for the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio that I would love to... you know what, actually? We'll have to get to it at the top of the next hour. The printer's not working here, just like the credentials person wasn't here, which is what made...
Oh, whoa. It's Father's Day. No shots.
All right. We had a couple of hitches in our giddy-up. Now I've hosted past the hour, and I've missed our commercials. Son of a gun. All right. Let's go. Back on track in a few. Who am I kidding? Well, never actually on track in the first place. Hour number two of Fitzy and Hart. More Celtics talk, more Patriots than you at 617-779-7937. Coming up. Don't go anywhere.
WEEI. We are right back to Fitzy and Hart.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Jared Wasey, Athletic. You guys have talked in so many different metaphors about how hard it is to finish something off this year. You get to the first clinching game for a title of your career. How big of a challenge was it, and how hard was it to try to problem solve in real time and go through all those different things?
Yeah, I mean, give them credit. They played well tonight, and we didn't. We had the right mindset and the right intentions, right? We wanted to come out and play super well and win. But it just didn't go that way tonight. But, you know, we're fortunate we get another opportunity on Monday.
Where is the moment we need it the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost.
A very mellow and measured Jason Tatum Friday night following the Celtics defeat. I don't know if defeat is even... would you call that an ass-whooping, Andy?
Curb job? Isn't that one of them?
Curb stomp? Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
What's a curb? Yeah.
That's a pig, not enough lipstick or perfume in this world.
No, not enough. Not enough at all. I mean, the Celtics have a chance, you know, to amend whatever wrongs carried with them or could have traveled back from Dallas after Friday night. Come out. Don't let Dallas get off to a hot start. Play your brand of basketball, actually make baskets as well, control the excitement, control the emotion, control the momentum, and they'll be able to validate their insane season. Now they have all but three losses, only one series thus far did they go undefeated in, that of course being the four-game sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Indiana Pacers. But I got to tell you, a record of 16-3 would be pretty impressive, and I think at this point now they wouldn't care, couldn't give a flying flip as to who gets MVP. You just want that championship to validate everything about the Brown and Tatum experience now. Jason Tatum, 7 years in the league. Jaylen Brown, 8-5 Eastern Conference Finals. One, now two NBA Finals appearances. No ring, no new banner, no championship, no parade, no duck boats to date. But it's close. I just can't imagine that they're going to blow this game and go back to Dallas for what would be an absolute gut wrench. Watch, you know what? They'll lose tomorrow night, and then they'll go back to Dallas, and everyone will think, uh-oh, it's going to be South Mouth Puckering City. Here we go. Now we're all going to be nervous all week long. They're going to do this. And then, of course, watch, they'll go win on the road and not give their fans a chance to respond the way they'd like to. More on this in a second, Andy, but let's clean up some of the calls first. We got some people that want to talk Brady Knight and more on the line at 617-779-7937. Ken is up in Maine. How are you, Ken?
Hey, Hart, Fitzy, how are you guys doing?
How are you today, sir? Are you a dad, Ken?
I am. I was about ready to say to you all, happy Father's Day, and hope you're enjoying your day. And
right back at you.
Same right back to you, sir. It's the best, my favorite day of the year, my absolute favorite day of the year by far.
hopefully it's a well-deserved, restful and fun day at the same time for you guys. I just wanted to call in, about the Tom Brady ceremony. I know there's been a lot of talk. I'm sure really why the announcement for the statue was during the ceremony. But I'm assuming maybe they're trying to get the PR out about, whatever the next thing may be. But I was kind of taking it as a great idea to think of what the statue could be. And I know you brought up earlier about kind of having his fist in the air and stuff like that. I actually have a great idea. Hopefully maybe one of you can pass on to, Robert Kraft about, taking the Tom Brady needs a high five PSA, video that was going around for years and creating a statue with his hand up. So it's more interactive so he can eternally get high fives from fans for eternity. Kind of make it in more of an interactive statue. It would be a little hard being 12 feet tall. You might need to have a ramp
especially for me. Is it going to be I'm going to have to give Andy 10 fingers and try and like do more squats to get him up there.
Yeah, well, you know, it have to be definitely have to be thought about, or, you know, there's a guy that watches it, you know, 24/7, like kind of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier or whatever. And, you know, there's somebody always there putting somebody on a lift to, you know, do the high five for a photo opportunity. But anyways, I just thought, you know, that'd be a little bit thinking outside of the box of an idea for a statue, a little bit more fun than, you know, just the statue of, you know, maybe just the hand in the air or whatever. But the other reason I wanted to call is, I really feel this week with the ceremony, it kind of brought out the importance of someone like Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, who's willing to kind of take one for the team when it comes to their contracts. You know, you're hearing about the Trevor Lawrence contract that he just signed for $55 million a year. I don't know how Jacksonville thinks they're going to be anywhere near able to compete with something like that, with a quarterback that hasn't shown anything near what Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or, I mean, even Joe Burrow making it to the Super Bowl once. You know, I'm not sure why teams are doing that. You know, the talks with Dak Prescott right now as well with the Cowboys. When are teams going to figure out that there needs to be a line in the sand with the market being at the quarterbacks that actually are winning the championships? And, I feel like Tom Brady, just kind of reflection of what was going on, was, you know, definitely, you know, the poster child of what needs to happen to create a dynasty. And sometimes that means, you know, spreading the money out in your pocket maybe a few years longer.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ken. Thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your Father's Day as well. As far as the statue goes, I'm pretty sure it's going to be something along the lines of Tom Brady fired up, Tom Brady stepping back to pass, Tom Brady pumping his fist, et cetera, et cetera. An interactive exhibit outside of Gillette where you can give Tom Brady a high five, you know, or something where you can like take a photo with him or something like that and get goated, if you will. I know the Patriots had a little thing that they weren't able to get to in the pre-show because there were just so many moving parts and so many red carpet interviews and more. Was they had this cool AI thing where you could take submit a photo of yourself via this app, or you could like take the photo, scan a QR code, send it to the Patriots, and then they would turn you either into Pat the Patriot, or they would turn you into, like, you'd get goated, if you will. So you can look forward to the Patriots doing more of those things in game, on the scoreboard, on the Ultron, as I like to call it, the Ultra Jumbotron, and probably out in the plaza itself. And as far as Ken's grander point about Tom Brady always taking less money and, you know, doing what he thought was in the best, literally what was in the best interest of the football team, which was leaving them money to go find other players and build a solid roster of 53 as opposed to a top-heavy, star-laden roster. That's another one of those things, Andy, when we say, like, there's never going to be another player like Tom Brady. There won't be. I mean, Jared Goff, what did he just get, $170 million guaranteed? You got Trevor Lawrence getting five for 275, which is an absolute bananas figure. And it's in Florida, too. Do you have any idea how far $275 million goes in a tax-free state and an area like Jacksonville? Holy smokes. Crazy money going around with all these players. Justin Jefferson, $35 million a year to be a receiver. Granted, he's the best in the NFL, so by market rate, it's deserved. But yeah, you're never going to see someone say, no, I'm fine. Granted, it helped that at the time he was married to the world's most well-compensated power walker and swimsuit model. But you're never going to see somebody like, no, no, it's okay. I'll pass on earning this extra $200 million so we have a better opportunity to compete for Super Bowls. Never.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm interested to see how things continue to play out with Patrick Mahomes, because on an annual value, he is outside the top eight or whatever it is.
I don't even know if he's top 10. That's a good point, actually. Wasn't it like a 12-year, $420 million deal?
Yeah. He went the long term. It approached a half a billion dollars, and everybody's like, wow, but you know, the average annual value has blown by him since then. And I know they've said, they've made comments, their GM, like, oh, we're going to take care of Patrick. And maybe they will. But yeah, all these other guys, none of them have won titles. You know, Joe Burrow's been there. Lamar's a couple time MVP. All these guys that are in that $50+ million a year range, none of them have been able to win Super Bowls. It'll be interesting to see who breaks through. And I don't fault the player. I'll never fault players. If you ask for it and they give it, okay. It's business, and the cap is exploding, and the revenues are exploding. Like, oh, yeah, we'll play on Wednesday a couple games. Netflix, how many billion? You know, it just, the money is flowing, so it should flow to players. But the competitive balance, how you fill out a team, there's a lot of, I don't know, decisions to be made there from both sides, teams and players. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the coming years as the cap continues to blow up. All I'll say is this. I hope we're having this conversation in regards to one Drake May in 3 years, 3.5 years from now. I hope we're debating how much to hand him, because that means you have a franchise quarterback.
That would be truly one of my absolute favorite first world football problems to have once again. How much is it going to cost for Drake May? And will Drake May allow the Patriots to take a little bit of a Newtown discount so as to be able to sign some of the other players that were drafted at the same time that we hope the Patriots are able to develop and then will blossom and turn into stars alongside him? That would be, honestly, Andy, that right there, that would be the football dream. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number as we come to you today from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. And, of course, we have a read for the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio that I would love to. You know what? Actually, we'll have to get to it at the top of the next hour. The printer's not working here, just like the credentials person wasn't here, which is what made it difficult.
Oh, whoa. It's Father's Day. No shots.
All right. We had a couple of hitches in our giddy up. Now I've hosted past the hour and I've missed our commercial. Son of a gun. All right. Let's go. Back on track in a few. Who am I kidding? Well, never actually on track in the first place. Hour number two of Fitzy and Hart. More Celtics talk, more Patriots than you at 617-779-7937. Coming up. Don't go anywhere.